All right. Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. My name's Kristen, and I want to welcome you out to our business fundamentals training. Tonight is Ed Randall's monthly Millionaires Club. You guys are in for a huge treat. We have some phenomenal speakers, but first, here is a rundown for the week. Tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific, Arlie Larson will be hosting our Client Introduction to Money class, and a Join Our Team webinar with Cody Beckett will follow at 6 p.m. Pacific. Tuesday morning at 8:30 Pacific, we have Roy's Sales Team Pro Marketing Webinar, and Wednesday at 10 a.m. is the Real Estate Professionals Webinar. Thursday evening, we'll be showing the replay from Monday. I know you're all familiar with our host for this evening. Ed and his wife, Barbara, joined Primerica 42 years ago. He's a Senior National Sales Director with 140 RVPs. He has 2,600 life license reps and 500 securities license reps in 26 states and provinces. And he was the 32nd million dollar earner in the company. Please help me in welcoming your host, Mr. Ed Randall. Take it away, Ed.
All right, Kristen, thank you so much. Wow, just such a privilege to be on this show with you guys again, and especially with these two ladies who are special friends of mine. I am Ed Randall, your host, and just proud to have an opportunity to share this time with everybody that's on board. It's a special program that we put together some time ago. We've been thinking about it for a couple of years, and quite frankly, things just never fell in the right place to where we could pull it off. But it has now. We're really excited about the results we're getting from it. It's a special program that's designed to showcase thousands of people all across North America. Obviously, they're not going to all be on this program, but we represent all those who started with little or no net worth as clients or associates. Primerica, they developed over the years a net worth in excess of $1 million. Some of them, quite a large number of them, multi-millions of dollars in net worth, primarily because of this company, their affiliation, or being a client of this company. These people have a great personal stories, and they've achieved not only financial success, y'all, but they focus on their family. This is a whole lot more than just making money. Their associates are like their extended family. And their communities mean a lot to them. They have a high profile. They're branded in their communities because they've been there for many, many years. So over the coming months, though, we're going to share some other builders of multi-billion dollar businesses, but I'm also going to bring you some millionaires next door. You've read that book possibly, where you have a lot of people who have handled their money well, never made a whole lot of money. And yet, on the other hand, they learned how to manage it well, and over their lifetime, managed to be able to become financially secure with a net worth of in excess of $1 million. Those are important millionaires, and there are many, many, many of them in the forms of our clients at Primerica, as well as our associates who are true million-dollar or millionaires. So, you know, we are focusing tonight on something real special. It's ladies' night. I'm not even sure what I'm doing here. We should have had somebody hosted that was a woman, but I'm glad to be here. And it's my pleasure to share these two millionaires with you. Their stories are inspiring and motivating, and you're in for a real treat. So to kick things off, I want to introduce to you Miss Mary Walker from Carrollton, Georgia. Okay, she's a Senior National Sales Director with Primerica, a million-dollar earner, the owner and operator of a multi-million-dollar business that she and her husband built from scratch out of Carrollton, Georgia, a small town in central Georgia. And then now it's expanded all across the USA and Canada, and is literally a multi-million, maybe a multi-billion dollar business today in production. So without further ado, let me introduce to you my good friend and a millionaire, it's a true one, okay, from Carrollton, Georgia, Mary Walker. Mary, you got it.
Hey, thank you, Ed. I am excited about being on here tonight. And I thought, since you got a lot of people on here who probably never heard of Mary Walker before, I'd at least tell them a little bit about me and how Randall and I got in this business. You know, we started with Art Williams back at the 1st of February in 1972. Art Williams was a division manager with another company. And a friend of ours, a guy who had played ball at Auburn with Randall, came to see us. T. Faircloth is no longer in the business, so you guys stop and think about that. When you're recruiting somebody, hang in here because you never know who's going to do great stuff in here. But anyway, he came to see us, pretended he just wanted to play golf with Randall, and that's the reason we let him come, because we were overinsured, we thought. If he had said, I want to talk to you about this or show you some life insurance information, we would have said no, because we have four policies, and we felt like we were insured to the hilt. You know, I was the only person making real money. I was bringing in a little less than $400 a month as a school teacher, a high school teacher. Randall was farming cotton and losing money. And we had a baby who wasn't quite a year old at the time. And those four policies totaled $9,600. And it was all on Randall. There was nothing on me. And we were paying $20 a month for it. Randall's mother gave us those four policies for our wedding present. Now, she had bought them on Randall earlier, and actually what she was doing was she gave them to us so we could take over the payment on them, but that was our Christmas present, I mean our marriage present. So anyway, we kept them, and they were dear to our hearts. And so after dinner, because I cooked back then, I don't do that much anymore, Ed, but anyway, T started showing us, and he said, let me just show you what I'm doing now. And he showed us an insurance, an idea, and it was like talking about insuring both of us for $50,000 and putting $10,000 on our daughter. And he was showing us it didn't have cash value, but he talked about all that, the decreasing theory of decreasing responsibility and investing the money that we saved, which was going to be $2 we saved a month. And I thought it made sense because even though I started off by saying we're not interested, I thought, well, heck, I'm the only person making some real money that's guaranteed around here. Randall's not. And so that made sense. Plus, it would cover our child and any we were to have in the future. So we said, sure, we'll do that. And he went through all that, and he talked about the investing. And I was really impressed because he covered the rule of 72 and explained to us. He showed us some hypotheticals. If we could just save a dollar a day, that's what he said. Can you save a dollar a day? And I know Randall was going to say no, but I talk faster than Randall. And so I said, are you kidding, T? We're just happy to save that $2 you're talking about a month. And but he said, well, let me just show you, if you saved a dollar a day, what you would have. We were just right out of college. And I said, sure, show us. Randall was all for it. And he showed us we could have several hundreds of thousands of dollars at retirement with just a dollar a day. And then he said, well, let me show you've had 100 a month. And then 500 a month. So he pulled out two more hypotheticals and showed us that. And we were like, whoa, you know, that's way beyond. We can't even come up with the dollar a day, but we'll do it. When he showed us that hypothetical, I said, I'll give up drinking tabs. Most of you are too young, probably, of the new age. You probably know what a tab is, but that's the most disgusting diet drink in the world. And I had one every day with my snack time as a teacher. And so I said, I'll give up that and we'll do whatever. We'll start a dollar a day. And we did. And the thing that's so interesting about that is that's what really got us fired up about it. And so T went through all the paperwork, and then he said, what about referrals? You know, talk to you ahead of time that we're just a friend-to-friend business. We don't advertise. Nobody's heard of us. Actually, they were selling for the Hartford back then, you know, the one with the big elk on the front of the policy. But anyway, we said, sure, we got lots of friends. We'll refer you to people, you know. We'll give you all this list of names because we knew all these folks that we played basketball with, we went to church with, that were good friends of ours, that were like us, that either had one or two children and just bought a house, that kind of thing. So we started reeling off names like crazy, and we gave him 15 or 20 names. And he said, wait a minute. He said, now I'm going to see these people anyway, but they're your friends instead of mine. You ought to go with us. Randall, you might like doing this. And again, Randall was going to say no. But I jumped in there and he didn't have a chance. I explained to him, man, we're not selling life insurance. We would be embarrassed to do that, but we will help you. We will go. We don't mind. We'll get you in the door of these friends. We'll do that. So we started the next night. The first five people we saw, we sold four of them. The fifth one just didn't do business right then because he had a child that was not insurable who was covered on an existing policy. Now, we got him later, but we sold four of the first five. And he got paid the money. So back then, now y'all get a load of this, back in those old days, Ed, you were deemed licensed in Georgia 10 days from the day you mailed the paperwork into the state. You didn't have to wait to get a piece of paper, a license, or anything. You could sign out 10 days after you mailed your paperwork in. So we decided we might be crazy, but we weren't that dumb. We gave him a whole bunch of folks we knew a lot more. And then we were getting referrals every time we talked to somebody for tea. So we decided to get in the business from that way. And so it just went from there. We never had an intention of doing big things. Back then, we sold a pure ART program, and we got about $50 on an average size, $125,000 sale, plus some on the child, you know, but that was about what we averaged, $50 on sale. And so we went on doing that, but we didn't blow up the woods. We didn't do great things. We just sold slowly a little bit at a time. And the thing that kept us in the business, though, was every Sunday night, T. Faircloth would call us and he would say, "Hey, how much money did you make me this week?" And, you know, usually we hadn't had any appointments. So, you know, we would lie. We would say, "Oh, well, we tried this, or we got busy, or we had something here or there." Y'all probably heard all those excuses before. But we still would do something, because back then it was a long-distance phone call. And we didn't have cell phones, and you didn't do long-distance. I wrote a letter to my mother, and she lived a hour away. But that was better than me having a long-distance call, because couldn't afford it. So we felt guilty about it, so that kept us in the business. But about 6 months later, Art Williams had a policy pickup contest. And you know, you don't have to do that these days, but back then we had to pick up the policies that somebody had. We had to analyze them, and Randall had me doing that. He was a great salesperson. He made me understand, "Oh, Mary, you're so good at this. You got the time to read these policies." And we had to type those out on a legal size thing to show what we were proposing and what they had. We had to submit that. The people had to sign it. We had to submit that. And it went to the states and to the companies. You know, we had to warn our opposition what we were doing. But by me having to read those policies, man, I really understood what the heck we were doing, even more so than two just talking about what we did for ourselves and our own programs and our parents that we went to see. And I mean, it made a crusader out of me too, and Randall. But that policy pickup contest that Art had 6 months later is what really made us realize, okay, we can do this business, because it was just for 1 week and it was for a pocket calculator, which was about the size of an iPad now, only about twice or three times as thick. But Randall was a gadgets guy and he wanted to win it. So in 1 week, we picked up more sets of policies than we had ever done in the entire 6 months together. And it wasn't that we did it right. He simply would go in, we'd say, "Hey, can we borrow your insurance policies? We'll give them back in a week or two." And they would say, "What for?" And we said, "We're trying to win a contest." So, you know, that's not the way to do it. But we did it. And what happened at the end of the week, we did win the calculator, but we had these policies, got to do something with them. We made more sales from that 1 week. And in that month, by the time the month ended, we made more money and did more sales than we ever had done before in a whole month, or actually in 4 or 5 months. But it made us realize, you know what? We can replace the job with this. This could be a career. We don't have to clock in. We don't have to do anything. Now I'm just going to keep teaching to offer of that support. But it made us realize that we could do the business. And I think that's why contests are so important. And I know some people say, "Well, they don't mean much to me," but you need to understand they do mean things to the people under you. So I recommend everybody do that. From then on, Ed, we just copied Art and Angela Williams with everything we did. You know, I'll be glad to go in anything else, but I know you probably got some questions to ask me about things. But, you know, to me, those early days are so dadgum exciting, just knowing that we were out there and nobody liked us. Understand, nobody liked what we were doing, because we were rocking the boat of this big industry that had just been having a field day doing a screw job to the rest of the people in middle America. Nobody questioned what they did. You know, whenever you had a baby, they read it in the newspaper and came out and sold you a nice little home, a whole lock policy. So you'd get a whopping $10,000 or $15,000. And when it hit me that these people are intentionally doing that, when really, what difference is that going to make other than paying for burial? And they're not talking to me, anybody else, about investment money. They're putting this savings in that they're going to lose. Well, I had a chance. It was the first time I'd ever heard of mutual funds, that I got a chance to be hundreds of thousands of dollars at retirement. Or if I up this, and that's what we did. So the people on here who are thinking about securities, and I know there's a lot of them, you need to understand, little investors are who become your big investors. Because our whole goal was to up that dollar a day to $100 a month. And then when we could afford it, to $300 a month and $500 a month and $1,000 a month. You know, I invested over $1 million last year, you know, because I understand what that's going to do. And it's not just for me, but it's for my children too. But that's the kind of mentality your clients get too. If you start them in the beginning with a PAC, they're going to eventually have somebody's going to die off, leave the farm to them. They're going to sell something. They're going to come into money. They're going to retire from a job. And who are they going to come to? They're going to come to you, because you're the one who was there starting on investing and in the market to start with. anyway, sorry, Ed, I could run on forever.
No, Mary, love, I don't want you to stop, but I do want you to talk about a couple of things that I think are real important. You know, life is hard sometimes. You have challenges along the way. On the rolling 12-month income, you just passed over $1.5 million of cash flow in a 12-month period. I don't know, man. You go out and buy your new outfit, Mary. Yeah, right. But let me ask you, it wasn't always smooth sailing. It wasn't always positive. We had challenges, but you personally had some challenges too. And if you don't mind, how about chatting just a little bit about that, about John and about Randall, your family, okay?
Yeah. Back at the first of the 90s, my son John he was 16, nice looking guy, just starting in 10th grade, just beginning, had a starting position on the football team, just finished. He was on the wrestling team, and coming home from school or from a ball game on the weekend, he had a wreck about a mile from our house, just fell asleep, ran into it. He had a car, but it was the year before they made airbags mandatory. So when we went up to the site of the accident, you know, Randall didn't recognize him. I only did because, and they had to cut him out, you know, the jaws of life to get him out of the vehicle. And, you know, I knew from the clothes he had on, it was John. He went to the hospital. He was in intensive care at Emory. And man, everything in the world was wrong with him. He wound up losing an eye, but he had tubes and things running everywhere. He lost half of his, 6 feet of his colon, part of his small intestine, punctured lungs, face was totally destroyed. They had to do unbelievable things. But in the beginning, they really didn't know if he was going to live or not. And something that was just amazing to me was that Art Williams showed up there at the hospital that first night. And it was when Randall and I were about to go crazy anyway, because we didn't know if he was coming out of there. He had a 16-hour surgery if he was going to live. And he wound up having about 32 more surgeries in the next year. But he came and just settled Randall down, particularly, and me. But then we were in that hospital that whole time, seeing the same intensive care nurses and doctors. And finally, after about 3.5-4 weeks, this one nurse came up and she said, "Just what exactly is it that you do? Never seen anybody be able to be here the whole time." And John was so upset. He was all bandaged, everything. He couldn't see, couldn't talk. His mouth was wired together. His head was as big as a basketball, and he was in intensive care. Normally they don't let anybody go in there, but because every time I went in and put my hand on him, his monitors calmed down, they brought me in there, and I slept with my head on his bed and my hand on him just for about 3.5-4 weeks until they could get him a little bit better. And it was just awesome to me. That's when it really hit me what this company meant. I didn't have anybody calling us saying, "Get your butts back to the office. If you don't do this, you're going to be out of here." We had so many people calling us and talking to us about how they were praying for us and praying us through that. And it was just a life-changing moment to us that we had this in our background, this kind of company and that kind of support, which doesn't happen. One night, there was a lady that was there, and you'd get to know the other people in intensive care pretty quickly because they're there and it's bad circumstances. And her husband was dying. They said he didn't know, he couldn't make it more than 1 or 2 days. And so the next day she was gone. So we thought, you know, that he had died. And whenever that night she came in and we said, "Oh, we thought you had lost your husband." She said, "No, it was the end of the month. And her boss had said, you got to come do payroll on Monday. And if you don't come, don't bother to come back." And I'm thinking, what? And that's when it just, you know, was like this big thing in my head, what we have, and maybe we take it for granted. And then guys, for those of y'all who don't know it, you know, I'm here now, but 15 years ago, this November, Randall died, my husband. And that year he got sick. We started the first of the year and we didn't do anything. That was 2005. With the business other than waving at people, and we kept them posted on Randall's situation. He had a very rare cancer, poorly differentiated neuroendocrine cancer, which there was no cure from. But we thought and we hoped and prayed that we can find something to keep this treated and possibly in remission. So we were in the hospital sometimes 4 and 5 weeks at a time. We were back and forth to Emory, which is about 1.5 hours from us, sometimes as many as 5 and 6 days a week, trying to fight this thing and hope we could save Randall. We didn't make it. We gave it a best shot, but he died of sepsis November 19th, 2005. But you know, as bad as that was, I had the knowledge that if something happened to Randall, this business that was worth a ton, you heard Ed talk about that, this business was mine. I knew because I've been a part of this from the get-go. I've been, Randall might have been the lead agent, but we were 50-50. We were right there doing everything together all the time. And my people were like my family. My organization knew talking to me is the same as talking to Randall. So it didn't. We didn't miss a beat. We got that taken care of. And like I said, I've just got my 15th diamond at the end of July here. We're all excited about that. And I had a lot of goals left, but man, it's something that this company is going to do what it does for us and lets us have that opportunity. There's no place else out there that has something like the ownership we've got. But you got to understand, when you get ownership, you need to make sure you own something, you know, because we've never stopped growing. My goal is to put out some more RVPs. My goal is to get some more 100,000 earners. We got 285 RVPs right now. My goal is to get 500 in our hierarchy. So, you know, Randall and I always judge our success by the number of successful people we have. Now, counting me, we got 5 that have the $1 million ring. I want to get at least 10, Ed. You know, we always have those goals out there. That's on my list of things to do. I've got 5,800 licensed reps right now. My goal is to get to 10,000. Somebody might say, well, Mary, you're dreaming. Well, I'm not dreaming. We just got to do a better job of getting people licensed because we're recruiting enough. I'm just saying I have things left to do. I may be old, but I'm not quitting yet, Ed.
Hey, you ain't old, Mary, not by a long shot, hon. One more little touch, if you don't mind, about family, okay? Because you got a little assistant over there that's kind of coming along that you probably want to tell us a little bit about, because you connected about ownership, which is a critically important, maybe right. The most important thing about our benefits. So you want to talk about her a little bit?
Yeah. I've got my daughter, Mandy, who was, she was in Texas. She worked for American Airlines for about 20 years, but she moved back here not long after Randall died. And she had always worked in the office back from, you know, from, this was a family business all along. Our kids helped pass out t-shirts, you know, help draw posters, do everything we had in the world. They would go to our conventions. We had the kids that belonged to any of our team running the spotlights, helping with the decorations, always filling a part. You know, it's so important to us that people knew this was a family thing. Because when I had my first little job, as soon as Randall and I got married, I worked at Southwire for that summer, and you couldn't have a personal phone call. And, you know, I really wanted Randall to be able to call and me answer the phone, say Mary Walker, instead of my Mary Papa maiden name, you know. But you couldn't do that, and it just hit me. This was such a family thing, and I couldn't wait for Mandy to come back. Now, I understand when you got two Walker women in the same family, we're pretty high-strung, pretty headstrong, pretty in charge. So I explained to her that the old lady's not retiring yet, but she's welcome to come on in there and get going. So she's got her, she's actually working on her 26. She's already got her other licenses, but she's trying to work and get her 26 taken before the end of September, and then she'll be fully licensed with all of that. But yeah, I'm excited about that because I know that what I've built is here forever. It's here to pass along. You know, I've got a second number that's actually a guy who was in our base shop that died, Bill Jones. And so I have that number, but it was already under me anyway. So it's, you know, I've got it here, but I've got it here too. And if they ever start adding those in, which I don't think they should, Ed, but if they did, that'd add about another 7 diamonds to it. So that's pretty good.
It is pretty good, gal. And I'll tell you what, you know, just one quick comment. As you know, Randall and I were pretty close buddies, and we did a lot of things together and worked as a team in a lot of situations because we're both under Bobby Buisson, first generations to him. But so many wonderful memories. He was a great guy, and we still love him to this day and think about him. So, Mary, let's turn to the future a little bit, okay? We've had this wonderful past. So many wonderful things have happened way beyond. In fact, let me slip this question in. Could you have ever imagined, Mary, making $1.5 million in 1 year? Or to have a future where, what's your total earnings? Do you have that figure on top of your head? Lifetime yeah. earnings? How about that?
You know, I have no idea. We've been making six-figure income since 78, the first years in RVP. And we believe that because Art Williams told us, man, if you get to be an RVP, you're going to make a killing, going to be financially independent. Now, we had no proof of that, you know, because the company's just starting. But anything the man said, we believe. So I have no idea, but we've accumulated quite a bit, and my goal is to get more savings and done. But I'm telling you, I want to grow.
Think about this, Mary. You're making $1.5 million a year. Is there any reason to think that's going to go down?
No.
No, actually, you've got that. So if you, the next 10 years, you understand what that is? That's $15 million, Mary, that more dollars that you're going to have coming at you. You know that's coming. It's already built into the system. Isn't that something?
Yeah. I've started giving awards at our year-end awards for my guys just to make them think about it. I go back and give them a plaque showing their last 10 years total earnings, and it blows their mind because some of them are making so much that they could never imagine making that much in a lifetime, much less in a short period of time. But what this company is offering to everybody is so unbelievable. The fact that we've done exactly what Art Williams said. He said that if he ever got to the point that the company was not better every year than it was the year before, that we ought to shut the doors. And man, Ed, it has proven to be exactly that. It gets better.
No question. Let's talk about the future for a little bit here. We got a few minutes left, and I know you've always been a positive force. You're always looking at the good things and better things happening. But there's so much collapsing the time frames today because of the technology thing and everything that's going on. Isn't it kind of unbelievable what our future looks like? Can you tell us what your visions are a little bit about what you see happening? And let's do it not only for those at senior level, okay, but think about the young people, new people coming into the business today and what they've got in front of them in the form of the opportunity.
I think that the folks coming in today have so much more, Ed, than we had, than you had, than any of us who've been around a long time had. You've got so many people who are jumping diamond levels. Now, does that mean everybody's going to do that? No, but you got to understand, if you come in here and your upline talks to you like they should, then you'll know as soon as you come in here, we want to train you and we want to get you to our highest part-time position as fast as we can, because that's when you're going to make enough money that you're going to say, man, I could really have a career change. I could be here. And that's what people like I want. That's what Ed wants. We want more RVPs, more RVPs, more RVPs. And y'all got to understand, about 80% of the RVPs in our company don't produce an RVP. And guys, the reason you don't, I'm just going to be serious with you, is because you don't sell it to people. You don't talk about it like you should. You got to understand, we got assets under management, and I love that, man. I got a lot of those in my team, but you also got assets under management in your RVPs. I look at every RVP down line for me as another pile of assets under management, and I want to get a lot more than I got because, man, that's the security. That's why our income, the year Randall was sick, went up with us not really being hands-on with the business because we were concentrated on keeping him alive. That's what is amazing to me. And that's what, if anybody really sits down and looks at this compensation plan you got out here, you want to be an RVP as fast as you can get there, because then you're building your business. You're not building my business. You're not building Ed's. You're building yours. Nobody's ever going to bother it. It's all yours, and you got a chance to build that security, which is going to last you through those tough times in life. I'm so excited about the company. I think we got the best leader in place that we have had in years, and I love John Addison, but I love Glenn Williams, and I miss Art Williams all the time, but I still follow everything he said, and I believe this company is going to be unbelievable. I really can see us doubling if people really start focusing on licensing within the next 2 years, the whole company.
Yeah, no question about that, Mary. You know, aren't you enjoying the fact that we're being branded now on a high level? I mean, the world's beginning to wake up and understand who Primerica is. And when we talk about our destiny being the big 800-pound gorilla in the room in the financial services business, people are starting to step up and believe it, right?
Yeah. Yes, it's unbelievable when you consider, Ed, back when you and I were in the beginning, all those people who were saying bad stuff about this company. And now you think about it, man, Forbes just said we're the best place. Now we moved up into the top 25 of places for women to work, that everybody's talking about how great we are. We're one of the most compliant companies in the industry. It just is amazing to me knowing where we came from. Hey, I grew up a little girl in Alabama without indoor plumbing until I moved to Georgia when I was 12, you know, and to think that that person can be making what I make today is just, it's unbelievable. It's like a dream come true.
Yeah. So Mary, you got a bucket list still? Now I know there's, you guys have a lot of fun. I see you on Facebook and other places where you're taking cruises all over the world and just, you know, enjoying life, which you obviously well deserve. But you, one of the things I noticed about it is you always share with your teammates. You share with your friends. You've got some great friends in our hierarchy, Ed and Becky Jones, that travel around the world with you guys. And, you know, isn't it unbelievable the camaraderie between Primericans?
Yeah, you know what? I've said this all along. Primerica people are my hierarchy, my team, and my friends, whether they're in my hierarchy or not. That's the family I got to choose, not the family that I was born with, you know. And I love sharing it with them. If it hadn't been for Art Williams and Angela and this company, Randall and I probably would have never gone any further than Panama City Beach or something like that, you know. And because of this company, I've been all around the world, mostly on the company's dime, Ed, which is wonderful. But our goal, as I've gotten older, was to start running some contests, going back to some of those places. And then I open it up for anybody who just wants to pay their part to go. And then I throw in extra things and side trips for them that I cover. But I want them to see what Art showed us, which is the rest of the world, which is to know there's a whole world out there. And if it weren't for this company, they wouldn't realize that. And then what's so exciting about that is the camaraderie, the fellowship that you have in those settings can't be replaced. It makes a whole different bond, and it just creates a whole different feeling for your whole team. So we've been excited to do that. We do a big cruise every year. We're going next year in September over to England and Scotland and Ireland. And, you know, they're all clients or Primerica folks and family. And it's just awesome.
Wow. Boy, it's going to be a great life going forward too, Mary. It's been a great life getting to this point. You're such a special person, Mary, and you light up people's lives, and you've given a lot of hope to literally tens and hundreds of thousands of people. We love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the program today. Any last thoughts you'd like to share before we close you out?
No, other than just thank everybody for tuning in tonight and listening to Ed and me with this, and you got something great coming up, and that's Francis Averett, who's got an unbelievable story and just keeps doing fantastic stuff in this company. So I'm just delighted that I got to be on the program with her and with you, Ed. Thank you.
All right, and thank you, Mary. God bless. Talk to you soon, too, okay? And thanks again for your time. All right, folks, we got a little break here for just about 10 seconds, but we're going to go move right on. And Mary, you stick around. We welcome you just to hang in there with us, okay? You know, it's hard to believe that you would have two very special people with similar stories, as you'll hear, that have built these huge businesses. Folks, these are, you know, I've never sat down and figured this out, but, you know, we used to talk about, well, we're dealing with things in millions and then tens of millions and then hundreds of millions. Now we are measuring productivity in a hierarchy like Mary and Francis, where they do businesses during a year in the form of billions of dollars of production, billions of dollars of life insurance, billions of dollars of mutual funds. These are huge businesses these ladies are overseeing. They're the CEOs of these businesses. They're the owner-operators of these businesses. And think of the legacy that they're going to pass on, not only to the family, but all the lives they've touched. And here comes another one, okay? Really, another millionaires, okay, from the state of Georgia. Started, I understand she'll tell you more about it, had a farm, and she and her husband. Okay, today's also an owner and CEO of a major, major multi-million-dollar operation, okay? Now, by the way, both these ladies' distribution system goes all the way across both the USA and Canada. So, this, like I said, it's big. It's a big deal. And this lady is a big deal, okay? She's had her challenges in her life, too, but we're just so excited to have Francis Averett with us. So, Francis, I know we do not have you on video, because you're down at the farm, from what I understand, but I think it was loud and clear with you being on the phone, so you got the audience.
Thank you, Ed, and I just loved hearing Mary's story again. It's always so rewarding to hear the story of success that comes from those very early days of our company and watch her go through the things that she went through, and to know that you can have what we have. I was very blessed to hear about this company in 1981. Lee and I had a big farm, and his health had gotten so bad at a very young age, and the cost of hospitalization and the surgeries that he had, we had to sell our farm. We had to get rid of everything. We actually had gotten in debt, and we had downsized it. So we did everything to fight to save what we loved the most, because I loved growing plants. I loved plants, animals, and children. And we grew every kind of plant that you can think of. We had five children that were young, and Lee's health just really crashed. And when it did, I had to do something else. And I'm going to tell the story as it began. I started praying for an opportunity to have a business, because being in a big business like farming was very expensive. I knew I couldn't start over. I couldn't even continue it. We just had to get out of it. And I needed to do something that would make $50,000 a year. And in 1981, for a woman who was the wife of a farmer, I worked side by side with him as a business partner in the greenhouse part of the business. But that's all I knew. And I needed to earn $50,000 a year, not because I understood how to set goals. I just knew what it was going to take to pay the bills. So I had a goal to make $50,000 a year, and I was praying for an opportunity. And on a Sunday night at 11:30, I got a call from a person that I had known, an old friend from the past, and he had moved out to Denver and was building a business with A.L. Williams, and he had heard about our dilemma, and he heard that I was looking for something. And actually, I was supposed to sign a 3-year non-compete contract to do life insurance, to be in the life in the insurance business with Fireman's Fund. Sandy Weil owned it, by the way, at the time, owned Fireman's Fund, and it was an independent agency. And I was going to sign a 3-year contract on Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And this call came at 11:30 on Sunday night. He had just gotten back to Denver, had heard about my dilemma while he was in Atlanta. And he said, "I'm calling because I just want to." Now here's this is, you got to remember, Pete, you never know what's going on in a person's life. I had been down to talk to the guy about the contract on Friday, and I told him, I said, "I really believe I can make $50,000 a year with your company," and he laughed at me. He said, "Wouldn't you be happy just to make $30,000?" And I said, "No, I wouldn't. I need to make $50,000, and either you don't believe I can or you're not going to let me, and I don't like that, but I've got to sign the contract." I didn't sign the contract on Monday morning because that call came that Sunday night. And what he said to me was, he said, "I hear that about Lee's illness. I've heard about that. I know you're looking for something and you were thinking about insurance. And I just want to talk to you about going in business with me." And my question was, "Can I make $50,000 a year?" And he said, "Is that all you want?" And I said, "I want that much for sure. Don't kid with me." He said, "No, I know you could do better than that." But I said, "I'm supposed to sign a contract." He said, "Don't sign the contract. Let's talk." So I didn't. I didn't go down. I canceled that appointment, which was very unusual for me, because when I gave somebody my word, I did it. And had he not laughed at me, I probably would have kept my word, and I would not be here today. So those things came together. Now, I believe God answers prayers. And when he does, I think we need to follow through. So I went straight to work. I didn't question it. And the minute I heard Art Williams talk about building this company across North America, and that we were going to have regional vice presidents in every village, hamlet, and city in North America. And the people that did that were going to become financially independent. And we had a chance to build a company within a company. And Art said all of those words in a speech that I heard. And that just thrilled me. So I went to my house. Now, I lived in a little town. It was Sandersville, Georgia, which is right in the heart of Georgia. We had moved off of the farm because we'd had to get rid of that. So I was living in town, and I had a big dining room table. So I went to the dining room table with paper from my dad's meat market, covered the table with that white paper, and I drew circles of cities across North America. I'd never traveled outside of Georgia except once. I went over to Texas one time, but I didn't know too much about cities. I'd never flown on airplanes. So I drew the circles of all the cities that I could imagine that we could build businesses in. And I put RVP in each one of those circles and decided I would build RVPs just like Art was talking about. And so I've got to tell you, when you envision something, when you plan for it, and you're part of something that allows you to do it, I knew I would work hard. Hard work was real on a farm. This is hard work, but nothing like the hard work I knew about. So So we went to work being coachable. I started asking everybody I knew, who did they know in another city? Who did they know in Savannah? Who did they know in Macon? Who did they know in another state? And I started gathering the names of people, and very quickly our organization was in 15 or 20 states and then 30 states, and in 3 years we were in Canada. And, you know, so by 1985 we had gone to Canada. And I can tell you, my son brought that paper, that white paper with those circles on it, to the office one day, and he drew the circles of our organization that was in place then, and every city on that place we had put an RVP except in one state. So, you know, we started out with the mindset that if this company was going to do it, we were going to do it. Now, it was a lot harder then. It was very tough. You had to travel to the place. You know, it was different. Today we can cross state lines. We can, on Zoom, we can recruit anywhere we want to, as long as we're willing to get the state license, as long as we're willing to follow the rules. It's an amazing opportunity to expand your business. And just like Ed was saying a few minutes ago, and Mary was talking about where we're headed in the future, I feel like the future that we're moving into very rapidly right now dwarfs any thoughts that we had in those early days. I'm glad that I had the courage to say yes to the opportunity. I'm glad I had the vision, the courage to say yes to Art's vision. I didn't have that vision. I just heard him sell his vision. And I decided if this company's going to do this, everything Art said, I believed it. It made sense. And I knew we were willing to do it. Now, Lee's health was bad. And we had my baby was 3, my youngest son was 7, and I had teenagers at home. But Lee was able to be at home, although his health was really bad. And we went through about 4 or 5 years later, the year we went to Canada, actually, he was in the hospital more that year than he was at home. He was in and out of the hospital with all kinds of surgeries, heart surgery, artery surgery. Just we didn't think he was going to make it. And in the meantime, we were expanding into Canada. And I was able to work through all of that and still keep our income at a level where we could take care of the family, take care of his. And we didn't have a lot of health insurance, hardly any. And I've got to tell you, Ed, this business has delivered for our family from that time on just in an incredible way. I knew one thing, I couldn't do all of the work myself. I was very quickly understood that recruiting was the name of the game. I wanted to build offices. I wanted to bring people in. And I knew, and Art told me, he said, Francis, I'm going to measure your success by how much money your people make. How many, the people that you bring in, how much do they earn? And so I right away started helping people earn more money. Ed Whiteside's my brother-in-law, joined me in business right away, and he expanded and grew his business. We both got to a $100,000 income very quickly after about 2 years in business. And, you know, so everything that was told to us that could happen, it happened. This company delivered. Now, I can tell you it didn't happen for everybody because everybody didn't follow the yellow brick road. Everybody didn't buy into the dream. Everybody didn't stay focused and do the things that makes it work. But so many families' lives were changed because we built a business. I'm very proud of the fact that our client base is huge, that we have, as you said earlier, we compute in the billions now in assets under management. It's amazing what a huge securities business we built across North America. And, you know, to see the amount of life insurance that's in force today because we decided to take a chance and build the business back in those days and follow those principles that we teach. You know, like Mary was talking about, going out with and talking about whole life insurance at the kitchen table. I remember that, you know, at the end of the day, after we got the license and it was time to go to work, Lee told me one day, he said, okay, it's time to go do what you keep saying you're going to do. This buy term and invest the difference thing is amazing. We knew what it had done for us. And he said, I'm going to take you to see the farmers in the area. So he drove me around the county And he said, because every farmer is at home during between 11 and 1 o'clock. They're working on their tractor. We went out and in 2 hours' time picked up, went to 15 different farmers, told them to buy term, invest a different story. And I came back with 3 grocery bags full of whole life policies. I had no idea what to do with them. I knew that we had to, take those things apart and fill out the forms, and it was hard work. So we drove to Atlanta to my upline's office, sat up there till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, worked on those policies, came back, and I made about $4,000 or $5,000 just in the next few days closing those sales. And that opened the door because those farmers had huge whole life policies. And I found out that people in our area, were buying that stuff by the just, it was ridiculous how much money people were spending on their whole life policies, and they just didn't have that much coverage. When I say huge policies, huge premiums, not huge face amount. So we were able to change for so many people, and we became very committed to the buy term, invest the difference, showing people how to do that. We took the little calculator, IT calculator that we had then, Texas Instrument calculator. We would show people what the difference would make to them if they invested that money, even at a low percentage. And I'll tell you, Ed, it was an eye opener that was amazing. But it also, my attitude about what the life insurance industry had done matched what Art had talked about. When I would see what families were doing and how it was just so devastating to see them lose their loved ones and not get hardly any money, and that we could go in there and change that. I became totally, totally dedicated to the buy term, invest the difference, and what A.O. Williams was doing. I fell in love with this business. I fell in love with recruiting somebody and showing them how they could make extra money and could then maybe leave that job one day and double and triple their incomes. And we were able to do some incredible things. So, that was our start. And then within 4 or 5 years, the business was growing and just taking off just like A.O. Williams was doing at the time. It was a lot of fun. I know you and Barbara were on many of the trips with Lee and I when we traveled to Europe and, had a chance to do things we never dreamed possible. So Lee lived longer than they thought he would. He was able to go on some of those trips with me on several times. He was able to stay at home and be with the children and help see the business through. So, and then he passed away in 1998 after years of a very serious illness and being at home. And I was able to take care of him that last year at home with hospital bed, round-the-clock nursing. They thought he would have to be in a nursing home. He had strokes. It was a very, very serious thing. And I, to see a young man have that disease, it takes away all of your dignity. And then to see that we could take him from a hospital, bring him home, and he could be with his children and be with his family. And I didn't miss a beat. I had 3 nurses round the clock, 7 days for around a year with a hospital room at home. That was something that would have been totally impossible to do.
I'm listening to every word you're saying, Francis. And one of the things that probably everybody is thinking is a lot of these people that we hear in this position that we're in pretty much say the same things. It's personal, it's personalized, but you stop and think how similar what you and Mary shared tonight. And one of the things that I'd like to hear you talk a little bit more about is this feeling that both of you have about your team, about your extended family, because you've treated it that way. Your people feel that from you. And where do you place that on the things that are really important in the business?
Well, I'll tell you, I have, I have a big family. I came from a very close-knit family, but my family at Primerica today stretches across North America. And the men and women that are part of our team and even outside of our team and all of Primerica have become great friends of ours. And my children have grown up in an environment with people that think positive, that work hard, that have a vision, that have the future. I mean, they talk about things that are amazing, and my kids have grown up with that. To have a team of people. I know Cheryl Bartlett is one of my first generations. My brother and my sister and her husband, Ed Whitesides, are our first generations. They have a huge organization. Randy and Lillian Nelson went to Canada, and now Randy had the strokes, and he sold his business to his downline, Bobby Go Cool, and now Bobby runs $2 million teams, his own plus Randy's. So, to have the Nelsons, the Go Cools, and I hate to call names, because I'll tell you, we have an organization that's amazing. I can't even imagine not being in Primerica and having what we have. So many people never get to experience that camaraderie. It's just
a whole different world, isn't it, Mary?
It's a whole different world. Mary Walker and I have become really close friends. We've worked very close together in the women's organization, and to see what she does and the life she lives, it's just such an inspiration. And Jenny Carter and I were best friends. I traveled all of the United States with Jenny, and had the privilege of getting to know this woman who was an amazing person and such a big part of our history. She was my dear friend. And so, it just goes on and on. Art Williams will always be somebody that our family can start, and Angela are just amazing people. And they built that into us, Ed. I think that one of the things Art Williams did that was outstanding, that is still one of the greatest things of our company, he built a leadership team across all lines and created a leadership team that felt those things you and I are talking about right now. And that leadership team today is still carrying on exactly the same way, God, family, and business, and making it a very personalized, but something that is huge in business. It's just amazing. And I've been so blessed to be a part of that.
Yeah, have we all. Boy, I tell you what, just sitting here with you guys, it's humbling in one respect, and yet it's so exciting to think about. You really could kind of look to the future, Francis, and say, we ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, taking into consideration all the technology and the things that are playing into our business that we have been set up for and are prepared to be able to make these changes with technology. Do you see it the way I do, that probably we could do 2, 3, 4 times more business, make more money in half the time at half the cost or less? In other words, business is getting simpler.
Well, Ed, I can tell you, I listened to Glenn, and he's an amazing leader. He cast a vision for us in January that was huge. And in March, things changed, and all of a sudden, we were doing more in the first quarter than he thought we would do in the first year. And to see where we're headed with this, I try to make a prediction or projection for my business. I just try to project it. And when you start really looking at the numbers, I can't even imagine what it can be in 5 or 6 years. But I know this, it's going to be a lot bigger than we ever thought, and a lot bigger than it is today. Our income is 1.3 right now and rising. I'm headed right straight toward the 1.4 and beyond. And I'm watching my income stream, and in spite of having been knocked out of the game several times over the last 2 or 3, 5 or 6 years, because I had some personal issues with cancer and even after Lee passed away. And even though I was gone from the business physically, I was able to run a company that continued to grow and produce $1 million income year in and year out, and continues to grow from that. And I'm not having to sacrifice anything personally, like my family or my health. I'm able to just keep doing that. And this,
no,
so
no
I
reason.
Think what it's going to do now, I look at the young people that are joining this business now, and they are just like I was and like you were. We're a lot of hope and dreams and all the things we had, they can dream bigger than they can even imagine. I think our biggest problem right now is people can't dream as big as they need to.
No question about it. So what would you tell somebody, Francis? What do you tell somebody? Because I'm certain you and Mary both still talk to people who are prospects about coming into business, do it every day. But talk about the ownership thing just a little bit, okay? I think it's probably one of the bigger things that has come along that was developed in recent years, where you can pass your business on, which means I mentioned about Mary in the next 10 years, if she didn't increase her income, and yours would be well over $1 million, $1.3 million, $1.5 million every year for the next 10 years, next 20 years. There's no reason, because of the nature of the building of our residual incomes from the securities business and the overrides on the life insurance. There's no reason to think about this ever really coming down, but it continues to grow. What could it mean to somebody, you know, to dream a dream today, or be a young person coming into the business? Could they dream dreams as big as what we've already experienced?
They definitely can. And like I said, I think the biggest problem is they really have a hard time dreaming as big as you can dream here. But my message to people is this. Look, I'm in the business of opening outlets for the largest financial services company, and we're looking for more and more men and women that want to own a business, want to have something that they can leave with their family. And I want to tell you, it's a place where you can name your product, you can dream big dreams. But you know, let's start from right where you can think right now. Let's go ahead and take a look at what we have to do. And you know, the thing that is so amazing, so it's $99 to get started. We have all kinds of little things like the app. You get your $99 back, your $100 back. You're actually going in business to build a company within a company. And that's what I use those words talking to people. And your cost is just your time. It's you putting your energy and your time into it. You're here in business for yourself, but not by yourself. You don't have somebody holding your hand all of the way. So you know what? I don't think that there's really... I'm very aggressive about recruiting. I just would say, you know what, Ed? I think the best thing for us to do is let me show you just in a few minutes what it's going to take, and let's get started, because you really won't know what you want to do with this without starting.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. Well, lots of blessings to go around here, Francis, for you and Mary and myself, and we're just thankful that we had this opportunity shown to us, or we wouldn't be where we are today. I feel pretty comfortable about that about myself, that's for sure. But I tell you what, to be in our age, which isn't old, we never call it that. It's just we're aging, that's all. But to think about what can happen between our rest of our lifetime, and then think about our families passing this on to them. And it's just beyond imagination what can happen. And here's the thing, let's ramp it all the way down to the fact that there's a lot of financial illiteracy in North America. There's a lot of people that don't know how to do what we know how to do. And we still have resistance, but aren't you enjoying finding that, as I mentioned to Mary, the branding of Primerica is kind of coming up now, and people are beginning to realize who we are and what we do and how important we are literally to the country. And I'm at in some people's minds may be a little bit big thinking, but you know, we can lay claim, don't y'all agree, to having changed the world. I mean, literally changed the way things to go. We certainly changed the biggest and richest industry in the world, the life insurance industry. We brought them to their knees. I really believe that. And I know both of y'all are warriors, just like I consider myself to be. But any thoughts about how you're kind of enjoying that? Okay, because whole life buddies, and I love seeing them. Most of them are passed away now, but on the other hand, every once in a while I run into one. And they have to admit, said, you guys did it. We didn't think you could, but you did.
Yeah, you know, Ed, it's such a thrill to be a part of Primerica right now at this time, to see our company being the leader in so many things, and you know, being the leader in licensing, in product, in everything you consider in financial services, and to be a part of it when it has the respect that it has, the home office, Glenn and his team with Peter and those guys. have, I mean, you know, I've watched them in this pandemic just take hold of an industry that we had to fight just to be able to stay in business. They would tell us we couldn't even write insurance in certain states. And all of a sudden, during this time, they moved us to getting more and more temporary license, helping fix the problems that would get us through that, because we are the leader. We're the known leader of the industry. To have that kind of credibility for the people that are starting, that I watch the new people that are starting their business now, they start out with, the company has so much respect. It's just now a matter of, you know, how bad do you want it? Are you willing to just go? Because the wind is to our back. It's a company that's recognized. And nope. What you're saying, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to think, what are the words that you say for it? I remember when I started, you and Barbara, Mary and Randall, and a lot of the other, you know, Bobby and Red, and some of the great leaders of our company, you guys were already doing what I thought was amazing. You were making the kind of money that I just wanted, $50,000, and y'all were already into the making $100,000. And, you know, and I was watching that happen, and today, young people starting like I was starting then, it was just a six-year-old company when I started. And today, they're seeing such examples of huge success is happening in a hurry. I mean, you know, these people are going to a million in 5, 6, 7 years. And I think it's going to be faster than that. I mean, I think we're going to see it happen in 3 years. And, you know, it's just a matter of grasping it right now.
Yep, it is. Well, gals, we got to go, but I'm going to stick around for a few minutes. You're welcome to join me. They give me a few minutes at the end. I appreciate y'all referring to my old age, because I have been around for a while, and this will be our 43rd year coming up. At 84, still kicking, and glad to be a part of this thing with you guys.
I'm going to be working with Stacy this week with her women. And yeah. I've loved the friendship with you and your family, Ed. You're one of my heroes.
Okay. Thank you very much, honey. I appreciate that. And you and Mary both have always been mine. And it's wonderful to still continue to have the opportunity to share together and to contribute what we can to this great company. We want to thank Primerica. I want to join you guys. Both of you have commented about that. But, you know, Glenn and Peter and that whole crew in Atlanta, it's just miraculous what they've done. I mean, it's mind-blowing. I'm pretty well acquainted with business and achievements in business. Never seen anything like this. The reaction, they can turn on a dime and seem to get everything put in the right place. Just so appreciative of what they do. And all those people back at the home office, a lot of them working through some tough circumstances themselves, having to work from home and that kind of thing. But they keep on going. And not only that, we're setting records every month. So, wow, what does the future hold? Mary, you want to make one last comment? I see you in there. It's kind of hard to stay still with this.
Am I unmuted? Can you hear me, Ed?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, yeah. I just am so impressed. I like this format, too. I love sort of the interview back and forth. And I hope people enjoy listening to the stories, because to me, telling a story, telling your story and telling the company's story is one of the most important things I think anybody can do if they're out there trying to get a new recruit, trying to make a sale, whatever. Because I just think that the Primerica story, the old A.O. Williams story, all the way from the get-go in the beginning, is so unbelievable. And I think that that gives us even more credibility. I think people love a crusader. I think they love somebody who's standing up for what's right. And I just think we continue to do that so well. So I'm really honored to be a part of this tonight and to be a part of this company. So thank you, Ed. Love you to death.
Well, love you to death, too. And let me tell you, gals, stick around for a minute. I'm going to take about 10 minutes and close up some things. I may have a gym here and there, okay? I've sat here in awe with you guys and listened. So much fun to be with you. It really is. And I miss being with you at some of the meetings that we've shared in the past. Hopefully this pandemic thing will pass here, and pretty soon we'll be able to go back to it. So hang in there with us. So, folks, I'm going to stick with you for just a few minutes, okay, and not keep you long, because it's getting late on a Sunday night. I appreciate everybody. We've had a big crowd show up, and we really appreciate that. And I want to thank all the people who put in the work and give us the opportunity to do this show. We're going to continue to do this, y'all. And like I said earlier, not only share the big hitters, you know, the people that have accomplished unbelievable things like Mary and Francis and Dick Walker was on recently and Rusty Crossland, Bill Render. We've got more people lined up like that. But we're also going to have some of those millionaires next door stories, okay, that I think you're going to have a good time with. Literally people who you never heard of in Primerica. Some of them been with us for 10, 20, 30 years, but they're not big names. You don't know them. They don't show up in the big leaders bulletins and all that kind of thing. They're kind of the quiet, effective people who do such a great job. Most of them are heavy on the personal production side of it. They make great money. Some of them make $1 million a year, okay? And what I want to do with this program is to make sure we give everybody who tunes into it, and we've had literally hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people watch it over the time, that to give them hope, to help them realize that we were all, you know, none of us were anywhere close to millionaires when we started. We were down, as you heard from the gals, down on the other end of it, okay? Certainly I was. I was 41 when I started, broke. Owed $70,000, so no, it was not a perfect life for me at that point. But that's what I think gave us the, whatever you want to call it, the guts or the right attitudes or the decision that we were not going to be defeated. That's part of what it was. We were fighting for it sometimes, it seemed like, for our lives. We don't have that same kind of thing going right now because things are better. There's no question. We're all thankful for that. But on the other hand, let me tell you, a couple of things I would just join in with the ladies to comment about that they said that I would certainly agree with. First of all, we sell great products and services, y'all, but that's not really what we do. I tell people, and it's kind of a good way to start a conversation. I said, no, you know what I do? I spent over 40 years helping people change their lives to the better. Now you stop and think, you know, like Francis said, everybody who comes this way doesn't make it, certainly don't make big money. A lot of people do. I mean, the numbers are unbelievable that are getting into six figures and beyond. But let me tell you what's really happening, y'all. We've helped people. I ran in, and I'll just tell you a quick story. I ran into a guy, went down for an MRI, and the guy that was the technician was working part-time. That had been his profession. They called him in to help the outfit get through some times. And he said, I didn't recognize him. He said, Ed, my name's Tommy, and you may or may not remember me, but I joined you 35 years ago, back when we were early years of the starting, when we started. And he said, you know, it never worked out really for me because I didn't give my best to it. I really didn't commit that much to it. But he said, you sold me a plan. You made me sit down and do what was our version of the FNA back in those days. And I want you to know, I not only still have that plan, but everything we planned has turned out. And I'm doing this just because I'm helping a buddy out. He said, I retired 6 years ago in my late 50s because you guys put a plan to me. And I not only did it, but I overdid it. I run into people like that all the time, gals. And, you know, where people thank you for that. Thank you for staying the course. Thank you for caring about the little folks. And then that's really what I think we do. We change a lot of people's lives. So, you know, what we've got to do now is realize this: for every person we changed, there's at least, I don't know, 100, 1,000 that don't even know what we know. We haven't gotten to them yet. So what it comes down to is the ladies have hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. We need people who will open more offices, who will expand the company into every little crossroads and puddle jump all across the United States and Canada. There's as many people who've never heard of Primerica yet as there are that know. And that's our challenge, is to spread the good news that we have, to take this message out to people. And we've still got a lot of work to do. And that means we've got to not only recruit and train a lot of people, bring them into the business, but we've got to develop leadership that will step out, become RVPs, and expand the company and reach out to those people who need us. I think it's still a lot of work to be done. And yet on the other hand, we're gonna have a good time. And the people who do it are gonna make a lot of money. No question about that. It's gonna be a real heyday, kind of fun to see what happens. Well, y'all, I tell you what, this has been I knew it was gonna be an interesting evening. I was talking to the people who helped us put it together. And I said, you know what, this one's going to be really fun because I got two great people who just had a great life coming through some tough times. And yet on the other hand, never saw them really in truth, seeing them just like all of us. Every once in a while, we get a little down, We'd have to, that's when we'd gather together most of the time, and we'd have some kind of meeting. Art would call us together and say, look, I don't know how, I don't know which way we're going to go for sure, but we're going to make it. No question about it. And we still feel that way. If you're out there listening to these folks and you're not sure yet what you're going to do with this, or if you've had it for a while, I think one of the things that we need to work on, gals, is we all have got a lot of RVPs who really haven't given into what they could do with this yet. They haven't found themselves. I just want to challenge all of us at every position to really think seriously about what you've got hold of here. And let's go do something really bit special with our lives, okay? Been a great night tonight, y'all. I appreciate you sharing. Let me share it with you, okay? We're going to give a lot of hope to a bunch of people here, I think. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you real soon. God bless everybody on the call. I wish you well. Take care of yourselves on the with this daggum pandemic. And let's stay safe. We got a lot of work to do, okay? God love everybody. Take care.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ed. It was great. Thanks.